Hi, everyone. I'm Paul Gillen.
And I'm David Strom.
And this is PR War Stories. It's a new podcast we just cooked up between the two of us. A couple of tech journalists with, between us, more experience in this field than I think either of us likes to admit. And Dave, why don't you just go over what our objective is for this podcast series?
Our objective here is to reach out to tech PR professionals and marketing communications people that work in the technology field and talk about ways that they can better relate to the press based on our numerous years of experience and some of the war stories that we've heard over the years, as well as looking at both new and old media and differences and similarities between the ways that journalists and PR people interact.
And this is something we cooked up because I think both of us have had experience many seminars and other events that we have been part of with PR people where we've talked about what works best in dealing with the press, and there always seems to be a lot of interest in that topic, wouldn't you say, Dave?
There is, and it's interesting. Both of us were at a conference last week, the New Communications Forum in Las Vegas, where we heard from a lot of people who are doing corporate blogs and podcasts and lots of new media activities for not just tech companies, but for traditional consumer companies such as Procter & Gamble and BMW and people like that. And the thing that amazed me, I did a session on how to use RSS feeds, and I swear it was probably the first or second question in my session where somebody said, well, how do I establish a relationship with a reporter? I mean, this is 2007. We shouldn't be asking those questions. We should have figured this out by now.
And the fact is, social media, it presents a lot of new issues, but it doesn't change the fundamentals, which is relationships are important. And in fact, relationships are probably more important in this new world because it's all about conversations. It's not about messaging anymore.
That's right. And part of the problem is that the PR person just has to kick themselves periodically because they go into control mode and trying to manage the process rather than just doing what comes naturally to all of us as human beings, which is talk to each other. So sometimes all this technology really gets in the way of that.
I think that PR people are kind of caught flat-footed by what's going on with the ascendance of blogs and podcasts and viral video. The fact that there are so many more influencers potentially out there now, and they really don't know where to start. But there are tricks that you can use to find the people who matter to you, and I think in future episodes of this program we'll discuss some of those. But the fundamentals of good PR have not changed. It's about giving value to the journalists that they can use in communicating to their readers.
That's right. And anything that can encourage that conversation is just, you know, right on and should be, you know, put front and center and highlighted in the PR person's bag of tricks.
So, David, can you describe what's one thing that you learned at that event that really stuck with you?
One thing that I learned is that blogs are still not generally accepted as a true communications medium. I mean, we have this thing called flogs, which are fake blogs. The McDonald's Monopoly contest was a good example that was bandied about in the days that we were at the conference. It was just, you know, it was just fake people, fake information. It was just fake from beginning to end. And the effort just completely backfired. So to the extent that, you shouldn't be so desperate to just have a blog for blog's sake. And in fact, I went around the conference asking people who doesn't blog. And a lot of people sheepishly admitted that they, you know, hadn't any interest, they didn't want to, they didn't have time, they were perfectly, you know, whole people as a result, and they didn't feel left out of this by not having blogs.
And I think flogs are a good example of the difficulties that marketers are having moving to new media, because a flog is basically an effort to control a message, which is kind of old-style thinking. And the thinking that is emerging in the blogosphere is that it's not about a message. It's not about delivering a message. It's about embedding the message in a conversation. And that's what struck me. The opening keynote by David Weinberg really struck me. There are a lot of things that I kept referring to in the 2 days of the conference from that opening keynote. And the thing that hit me, I mean, David is a brilliant guy. He's actually a former PR guy. I first met him when he was in a PR capacity. I was interviewing a CEO of a company he worked at, but a guy who is now clearly the one of the thought leaders in social media. And what he kept saying is ours. That's the word that kept coming out. It's ours. We own it. And the message, control of the message has passed into the hands of the consumers, of the buyers. And we're not going back. You know, marketers are not going to recapture control of the message once the consumers own it. And he felt very passionately about that. And I sense that whenever I talk to active bloggers that they, you know, you will pry their blogging tools out of their cold, dead hands.
That's right. You know, and the classic example of that, now classic example of that, is the Time Person of the Year shouldn't be you, it should be us. You know, it's got to be inclusive.
So, and that has a lot of implications, of course, for how we think of the media. You know, the media has historically been the people who could afford the press or the broadcast license or the transmitter, and now that has changed to where the media is anybody who chooses to be part of the media. And I think for the opportunity there for companies is you can be a content creator now. You know, you no longer have to pass through a professional journalist who is a gatekeeper. You can go directly to your audience. And that is something that we're beginning to see early examples of companies experimenting with and doing so very effectively. But that, I think, is the big change in all this. And maybe the change that PR people are not quite comfortable with yet, the idea that they can provide a valuable service to the market through their own use of the media without having to cajole and influence some kind of gatekeeper.
Right. I think we have to move from a PR person as a gatekeeper to the PR person as a coach and as a mentor, if you will, to encourage these conversations.
I've been struck looking at the traditional trade media, where both David and I have many years of experience, seeing what's happening there, which is many of the trade publications, Computer World is doing this very strongly, Network World, InfoWorld has been doing this for some time, and ZDNet does an excellent job of it. They are using bloggers. Bloggers are really going front and center for them. And one of the reasons, I think, is simply it's practicality. They're cutting costs by getting content for free. But I think more importantly is that the mood is shifting to one of the content is becoming more personalized. It's not hidden behind this very formatted wall of the inverted pyramid reported news story. The people who are creating the content are increasingly using these brands as a way to go directly to their audience.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely happening more and more, and we're even seeing it in the general media, the remake of USA Today's website, where they encourage comments and have this kind of crazy recommendation engine for their stories, is a very big example of how that's changing in daily media.
I think we're going to see dramatic shifts in the way the media, the attitude of the media toward how it aggregates and presents information in the future. And increasingly, mainstream media will become an aggregator, as the USA Today example shows, and a filter, but not, they will no longer prevent individuals from speaking to their audience. They will rather evaluate what's being said, filter it, collect it together, package it. But the content increasingly comes from the people out in the field who have opinions.
That's right.
One thing we want to do with each of these shows is talk about one horror story and one example of great PR that we've run into recently. And I don't know. I have both, David. You want me to do the horror story or do the shining victory?
Why don't you do the victory? I'll do the horror.
There are a couple companies I've worked with recently that have done an exceptionally good job of showcasing their executives and creating opportunities to interact with their executives through multiple media. One of these companies is Right Now Technologies, which is a software as a service vendor, and relatively young company, but very successful, publicly held now, profitable. And their CEO, Greg Gianforte, has made a very concerted effort almost since day one to engage with the media and to understand, to develop relationships with individual reporters. I've been fortunate to be one of those people. And I've had a chance to interact with him not only in a conventional media, you know, journalist role, but also lately as a podcaster. I've done a couple of podcast interviews with him. He's a guy who thinks deeply about a lot of business issues, a very interesting speaker, and writing a book right now, in fact, in which he says that customer service is the only differentiator really left in the market. And he has been very, not only very accessible, but very willing to engage in these podcasts as a way to spread the word. And I increasingly rely on him as a source not only for articles about what's going on in the software as a service industry, but also for general intelligence and enlightenment on what's happening in the business world. So my kudos to right now for, and to Greg in particular, for making such an effort to engage with the media. You don't find many CEOs like that.
So here's a case where having someone who is using the new media, but he's established a conversation with you, and he's become an expert source for you because of the conversational ethos, if you will, of what he's produced.
And very responsive, very quick. You know, this happened with another company recently, Symphony, which was just acquired by TNS Business Intelligence, called up looking for a customer reference, left a message on the phone, and 4 hours later, the customer called me for the interview. And I did the interview. The prominently ran the customer's quotes in the article, which ran on searchcio.com. And just the speed of turnaround was remarkable there. And I can't emphasize enough, when a reporter calls you looking for a source, looking for a comment, generally the first one who gets back to the reporter wins.
That's right. And I'll just, since we're out of time, I'll just quickly close with a horror story in that vein, where I asked for a corporate source for a story that I was writing, and I believe it was for Computer World, and the company finally got back to me a week after I filed the story.
So, you know, by which time, you know, with the attention span that we in the media have, that's a year. That's a dog year,
right,
in real time.
Like I'd forgotten what I had written about at that point. It was so long.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. We intend to keep these podcasts brief, and we invite you to send us your questions, your suggestions for topics we should cover. Our email addresses are in the show notes, and we want this very much to be a program for you.
All right, this is David Strom in St.
And
Louis.
And Paul Gillen in Framingham, Massachusetts. Keep on moving down the boulevard.